Radio.
All right, we're now officially recording. We have Kim Miller. This is your microphone 2.0.
I worked through my checklist, so we would have the minimum of audio problems.
Not your checklist, but your
track list.
Boom.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But Met Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
You two better go on without me. My old legs have given out.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's like Dr. Nick, right? We should do a Simpsons podcast. What a great idea. Actually, there is a Simpsons podcast on the Feral Audio Network with my friend Julia Prescott. But we don't care about that. We care about you. Hi, I'm Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. Thank you for joining us. I'm joined by Kimberly. Can I give your last name? Do you mind?
Sure.
Kimberly Yumi Miller.
Oh, you said last. Middle name, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Middle name. Well, it doesn't matter. We'll edit that out. Never. And
there's no editing on this.
There's no editing. I used to, like, really, really edit because it was, most of the time the early episodes were terrible. So I had to get rid of them. And then I realized that it's that chaos, that entropy that we need to keep people on the hook. Because it's like you're going through, like, a garage sale and there's so much junk. But every once in a while you'll find a little, like, Antiques Roadshow kind of, you know, trinket that's like, oh, I didn't know that. Just like that. This was all a bunch of junk there. But I'm Mike McCaffrey. I'm here with Kim Yumi Miller. Her middle name is Yumi.
U-M-I. Stop that.
But see, here's the thing, though, Kim, is that you need to throw all that away. In the 21st century, no one's going to care about that. All they're going to care about is your moniker. 21st. I know it's the 21st, but I'm saying
Kimberly Miller is such a generic name that people usually can't find me. But throw in my middle name, jeez.
But see that, like, I'm trying to tell you is that none of that's going to matter because all they're going to know you as is the doctor. The doctor.
Again, the CIA can be hacked. And what are we bothering with anything? Why am I bothering having passwords for anything?
I don't even know what that means. What are you talking about? What is this?
This past week.
Is this wiretapping? That's right, wiretapping and microphones and microwaves. You know,
here is what they've been doing and hacking into your Samsung smart TV and stuff.
I know. Yeah. This is true. Yeah. So the CIA. Yeah. There's all sorts of. You know, the wonderful thing about our presidency and about all the WikiLeaks is now I have no cause to pay attention to real news or fake news. I just go into Star Trek. And I just envelop myself in a possible future, which is much brighter than our current present or president, I guess. So,
in the future, we won't need money or passwords or.
That's right. Yeah. My voice is my password. That was from Sneakers. You ever watch Sneakers? Sneakers is good.
Oh, gosh. I never saw that. Remember that movie from the 90s, wasn't it?
You never saw Sneakers? Sneakers is great. Ooh. Oh, gosh. Stephen Tobolowsky is in that. He's really good. Anyway, and he's got a great podcast, too. If you ever listen to his podcast, it's really, really good.
Turned me on to that. I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. But this is, we don't care about that. We don't care about podcasts. Or all we care about is the doctor and me, your captain. I just so we had a trial on the 50th episode. This is the 51st, and now I'm your captain, at least for the next 50 episodes. Until the next generation. When
are you going to go crazy like every Federation captain? Or Federation Admiral.
Yeah, or Commodore. Yeah, this is true. There is a disturbing trend where everybody in the upper management of Starfleet goes completely batshit crazy at some point in time or another.
I'm going to log into a Google Hangout call and just see you eating mealworms. Hello, Doctor.
Relish your body. I could be Matt Decker, or I could be, what was the guy in the Omega Glory? Tracy, Commodore Tracy, Captain Tracy.
Yeah.
No, you don't understand. We'll all die. We'll all turn to like baking powder if we go up there. The Exeter.
What? Baking powder?
Well, like, don't you remember, like on the Omega Glory, like his whole crew turn in like this, like white powder. There's like baking powder or something. You know, I can put you into a cake and bake you up. Kirk, bring four phasers into them. They still kept coming. That was almost like one of the, it was almost like the second pilot was the Omega Glory. So bad, so, so misshapen that the network executives were like, ah, you can do better than that, Gene. And so they finally came up with Where No Man's Gone Before.
Good theme, I guess. Captains and admirals have gone crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, it's an interesting idea, but it certainly is one that's best tucked away in the second season where it's like we have a sort of a hierarchy of, because like if that's the first episode and already like captains are going bonkers, it's like, well, you know, what is, you know, what are they doing
going
in
on
the Federation?
At the Academy?
Yeah, I mean, the Academy is already very, very suspect because like we have him, we have Admiral Cartwright in Star Trek VI, you know, who is responsible for, you know, the almost Klingon Federation war. There's a lot of Jellicoe's
in,
okay.
into Into Darkness. Yeah, Into Darkness, right?
Oh yeah, Into Darkness. Yeah, we have Captain RoboCop. Yeah, Captain Admiral RoboCop takes the Dreadnought, USS Dreadnought. I think that's the name of the ship, which is like a terrible name. It's, you know, it's like Captain Bad Guy and his spaceship, the USS Bad Guy. Well, now sort of ally themselves with Benedict Cumberbatch and sort of not, you know, yeah, everybody's a bad guy, nobody's a bad guy.
A war, right? What's this thing?
Yeah, he's trying to, again, now that I think about it, this is the second movie which tries to start a war with the Klingons, as though the Klingons need any reason to start up a war. They could just be like, hey, come over and fight us. Like, you know, today's a good day to die. And they just, you know, show up. Instead, they have to, like, we're gonna shoot a bunch of photon torpedoes filled with, like, genetically modified humans at your homeworld. That's going to be a thing. We'll be okay with that. All right. So this is all getting away from, this is kind of our light banter. Oh, I should point out that we did get two more reviews on our iTunes. I've pleaded, I've begged, I've bartered, I cajoled, I've something, and two people have just brought down the hammer of they're great iTunes reviews. But let me read this one. This is February 22nd, 2017. This podcast is not logical. That's the title of this, and it starts out, my name is Sarvuk. My name is S-A-A-R-V-U-K. It's not Scandinavian. My name is Sarvuk. I am a Vulcan currently assigned to a space vessel now in orbit around Earth. Our mission is to covertly monitor the human race. We do such monitoring with all primitive species such as yours in order to evaluate if you have become evolved enough for us to make first contact. See, this is already... This is beyond anything that I've... In the past 50 episodes. This is so good. So he goes on to say, suffice to say, things do not look promising for you humans at the moment, but I digress. In order to pass the time up here, I have been listening to your podcast entitled, I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek.
Yay.
As a middle-aged Vulcan myself, 135 years of age. Isn't this great? These are our fans. Yes, this is great.
Fantastic.
This, I am so happy. And you know what? I think I've cracked the code. I don't think they're 135 years. I think this person cosplaying is probably 35 years. I think that they determine that middle age. And here's a secret. That's not middle age. Middle age is still yet to come for me or for you or for anyone. A middle-aged Vulcan, 135 years. I suppose I can understand the notion of a midlife crisis. That said, there are many aspects of your podcast that offend me as a Vulcan.
Like what?
Well, Mike McCafferty, on your podcast, you are very funny, sometimes obsessive, sometimes angry, sometimes very loving and affectionate with your friends. I disagree with that. I berate you at every chance I can. Have that stricken from the records. And when you interview Star Trek celebrities, you are gracious, engaging, and respectful for no logical reason. This is probably true. I probably coddle some of our more esteemed guest stars. Kind of let them go on a little too far, don't we?
So I let you know, but yesterday I listened, finally, I'm way behind, but I finally listened to your Carl Held podcast. And he said, when you mentioned Lee Merriweather, and he goes, oh, I know her. And you're like, oh, well, she says hi. Oh! And he believed you for a split second. very funny.
Did she say hi? I don't think she did.
Sure she did. So if you happen to see Carl anytime in the next 5 minutes, say
this,
hi.
This is a person I've never met, but we were in different episodes. And, you know,
Carl was very nice.
He's a nice.
I mean, how energetic and positive and cool he is. That was nice.
Yeah, I should give him a call. I should have him come back again because he lives around here. We should have Carl Held stop by.
Oh, nice.
Because he's like in an old folks home because his wife passed away and she was on Star Trek too.
I thought you had mentioned that he's in the Midwest or something, or did I?
No, that's Ralph Maurer or whatever his name is, Red Hour guy. He's in the Midwest. Okay. Yeah. Do you listen to this show, Kim? My God, I mean,
there's 50. I gotta get. I think I listened to the Christmas episode, and I'm going to listen to the Lev Mailer one.
Lev Mailer, that's who it is. Yes, Lev Mailer.
Give me my 3-month-old review on it.
Good. Because people listening to this right now really need to have a review on something they probably already listened to if they're listening chronologically. This is.
Wait, so I interrupted your Vulcan review. Let me hear.
All right, here we go. All right. In short, Mr. McCafferty, you are an emotional human who does not behave logically. As a Vulcan, all these factors add up to a podcast that I cannot recommend. However, all that said, If I were human, I would have to truthfully admit that this is a fantastic and hugely entertaining and fun podcast. Logic thereby dictates that I rate this podcast 5 stars. Oh, as a Vulcan, nice. I do appreciate the infinite diversity and infinite combinations of styles from episode to episode. This is very true because we are all over the map generally.
yes.
All over the quadrants. Live long and prosper. Sarvuk.
We ring our ceremonial bells of thanks for you.
I still have that saw here on my.
That sounds terrible.
I know, but I did put in the. Did you hear the this last episode? Or do you even care to listen to your own episodes or no? Because I put in the Captain Bell from Space Seed where he
oh yes, I did hear and, that.
You know, ding. That was it's very nice. That Sorry is from Idaho 254. And thank you very much, Idaho 254. Can someone top that? I don't know. This is pretty good. There's another one I'll save from Captain John G. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's John Grady. Who knows? Probably not, no. But it's also pretty good. But this was phenomenal. This is exactly awesome. What we need to do to take down Trek FM and all those jackasses over there.
You refer to them as all those jackasses. I've never listened to their podcast. I don't know why you hate them so much.
Isn't it great that I just shift focus from really like being lauded for my own accomplishments to totally throwing my comrades in podcasting, Star Trek podcasting, under the bus? It's
just a horrible Trek FM jackasses.
Well, they, you know, I mean, I feel the weight. The weight of feral audio on my shoulders to kind of step up for Star Trek. And they have like 19 podcasts, including one of what we're going to be talking about here. So called, it's like Saturday Morning Breakfast or something. Let's dive into this episode because it's late. The hour is later than you think, old friend. That's Lord of the Rings.
Hey, tangent.
I know. All right. So, Kim, everyone. There is one four-word phrase. I'm starting up our podcast in earnest, 13 minutes into it. There's one four-word phrase in Star Trek which completely defines everything about Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Space? The final frontier? No. Yes. No, that's not it. No. Live long and prosper? No. There are 4 lights? No. The most important 4-word phrase in all of Star Trek lore for the past 50 years is this. Kirk is a jerk. Kirk is a jerk. You heard me right. Kirk is a jerk. And Kim, this was probably said by some sort of random alien. Some sort of like Pakled who's not intelligent, but Kim, who told Kirk that he's a jerk?
The Enterprise, of course.
The Enterprise? Are you crazy? This is insane.
What are you talking about? You haven't explained where this is coming from.
I know. It's okay. Because this is setting up, this is teasing probably a really pretty terrible episode, but that's okay. Because we gotta make a lot of hay with this. So I had Kim watch the TAS episode, the animated series episode of
The Practical Joker.
The Practical Joker. That's the same sound cue they played in every single episode. It's the wacky sound cue. I don't know why. So the other day I was sitting around. I had been like totally, you know, I mean, I've been going through these crazy weeks where I've just like working 12 hours or something like that. And it was like Saturday night, and I was still writing. I was writing my Hallmark film, Lovebirds. And it was just going terribly. I do have a Star Trek reference in my Hallmark film, which hopefully no one will ever listen to and decipher this. But at one point in time, they go listen to a rock band, and the rock band is named Kirk and the Trelanes. And so far, my development person has not picked up on that. So I'm very happy about that. So that's good. We've embedded that in there. And then I'm working on my other show, this animated show I'm doing for Disney. And first of all, I have a character named Metrona, which is very close to the Metrons.
Metron.
And then there's we go back in time, like it's kind of like a flashback thing, and there's a father-son, and one guy is named Jerome, and I'm kind of rewriting the episode, and I have to come up with a son's name. And so I think, oh, maybe Bill Bixby. So I'm like, oh, his name is Bixby. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then someone says the two names, the father and son's Jerome Bixby. And I'm like, Jerome Bixby, what the hell is that? And I look it up, and Jerome Bixby is a writer for Star Trek.
Oh, it's just buried in your subconscious.
He wrote
deeply.
Mirror, Mirror. I was like, what the hell is going on with me? I'm subconsciously inserting Star Trek into like Disney animated and Hallmark films.
Fantastic.
It is the best. It is the best of all worlds. It is the best of both worlds. So. So I was very happy about that, and hopefully they're not going to listen to this podcast either. But anyway, so I don't know where we went with this, but I had Kim watch this episode called The Practical Joker, I was so tired, and I was like, I just got to watch them. So I watched The Practical Joker, and it's not a very good episode. And if you want to stop the podcast right now and watch it, it's like 20 minutes out of your life.
Well worth it.
What's that?
Well worth it. I watched it 3 times, and I loved it.
That is a lie. I do not believe that for 1 minute.
I did.
You watched it 3 times?
I did.
Now, hold on. You watched
it. I watched it once and paid attention, and then I watched it 2 more times while I was going through my Trek list.
Oh, my gosh. You watched it 2 more times than I have, Kim. I've got to be honest.
What?
I was
skimming. Why am I preparing for this thing?
And then I watched How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth, which is basically a, you know, Who Mourns for Adonis ripoff. But it won an Emmy, the only Emmy awarded to Star Trek. Yeah, kind of weird. But let's dig into this. So this is we've only done one other overview kind of thing about the animated series. So let's go into this a little bit, because it was the perfect thing for me. It's a perfect antidote to kind of get me off, you know, off track. But there's some interesting things in it, and there's some completely ridiculous things in it.
Yeah, that's why I watched it 3 times.
Yeah, it is. Now, have you watched a lot of animated episodes, Kim?
No. I think I watched them probably when they were originally on in the mid-70s, just briefly. I only had the faintest memory of it. So watching it again, I was like, oh, this is really cute and ridiculous at the same time.
Don't you mean before we were born, Kim?
Yes. The middle-aged Vulcan.
If hours were days, then we'd be stuck here by the book. the same thing for me. I watched them as a kid, and they were just baffling things.
I forgot how nobody has whites in their eyes. It's just the same skin tone in their eyes.
That's right. They're the whites of their eyes have been replaced with skin. They are sort of like a Charlie X thing where he just replaces the whole face with skin. It's his final gift to them.
So what is that character that looks like he has a big Adam's apple? Eric's?
Eric's. Yes, Eric's. Mr. Eric's.
What is he?
Yeah. So that I'm part of the reason I wanted you to watch this, because we could have watched some other stuff. And Jason Mekaris, and shout out to Jason, who we contacted a couple of times to watch this, and he's doing something. I don't know what he's doing. He's
being a fool watching a movie, I think.
He's watching a movie. I don't know what he's watching. So it's not important. He's not here. It's not important. I tried to text him. I tried to text Matt Stompy Thompson, and Matt replied with nonsense about, oh, I can meet on the 20th. It's like, that was not my question. Can you podcast tonight? And he's like, oh, well, maybe next Thursday. I was like, no, you're not listening. You don't have to come up here from San Diego. It's fine.
That's ridiculous. It was thread of nonsense.
I just had to like, I had to disengage. I was in class at the time. I was falling asleep, and it's like, I can't do this.
But what is Eric's? Eric's is Alex. First time,
Alex. It's Alex Keaton. It is Eric's. Is I don't know what the hell he is. He's I don't. God, what is the name? I'm going to cheat. I'm going to look up his race. Maybe you'll do that. I know that Mares. But
he's there in lieu of Chekhov.
Yes.
Chekhov, not in the animated series. Okay.
Yeah. So Walter Koenig was not invited to be a part of the cast.
Not invited? Really?
No. It was rough. And in fact, who else was? And it was, why? I think it was.
That sucks.
Because it was, well, I know.
We've invited your whole cast, but you. Oh, God.
Well, I don't think George Takei or Uhura were invited either. I can't remember. Maybe it was James Doohan. It was like two of them. And then when Leonard Nimoy found out that those two guys weren't invited, he's like, well, I don't want to do it then. And so then Gene Roddenberry had to like
that Scotty and who when he found out who were invited.
I think it was Sulu and Uhura. I think it was like when I think George Takei and Nichelle Nichols were not invited to be a part of the show, part of the voice cast. And then when Leonard Nimoy found that out, he was like upset, and he's like, "Well, I'm not going to do the show." And then they kind of had to like make a deal where they were on the show.
But he was fine with Walter Koenig not being.
I guess he was, which is
a
really
jerk.
I know. Yeah. Walter is a jerk, I guess. That's the takeaway from this episode. It is a little weird. Now Walter Koenig, he did get to write an episode for this. Yeah. He did get to write The Infinite Vulcan, which is a really baffling and strange story. I don't quite get it. It's where they clone a giant Spock to kind of like run the universe.
Oh, you said that was a good one, right? I haven't seen that yet.
No, that's Yesteryear. Yesteryear is a really good one. That's the one. Oh. If you're watching any Star Trek episodes of the animated series, Yesteryear is the one you have to watch. It's 20 minutes of your life, and it's really good. It has the Guardian Forever. It has Spock as a child. Time travel. It's great.
So was there any explanation of why he wasn't invited to be on the show?
No, you just, like, if you tuned into episode one of the animated series, you're like, oh God, what the hell is that thing? There's this three-armed, like, red monster.
Oh, he does have three arms, okay.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh my God, that's the, and three legs, Kim.
What? Oh, jeez.
What?
Three viewings, I missed all of that.
Three viewings and...
Wait a minute, is he walking? Well, I'm going to watch it a fourth time just to see if it's clear.
No, he is almost always seated. He is almost always seated because animating him walking is just a disaster. It was just so crazy. Let me see. So Eric's... Okay, I kind of teased up that you were going to look at it. He is an Eidosian. And he... he is absolutely... Yeah. He's commanded the ship a couple times. He plays like a weird lyre instrument, and he talks like this all the time.
In a captain's chair one time.
Yeah, well, you're looking at the Memory Alpha thing. I know you're doing. You're doing exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, no, I'm looking at the episode. I'm remembering fresh in my mind the episode.
Oh, okay. That's probably because they had the animation for that. He's a Eidosian. He's lieutenant. He's a navigator, and he was voiced by James Doohan. James Doohan did like 95% of the voices.
Oh, I thought so.
Yeah. Anytime you heard someone talking like this, that is James Doohan. And anytime you heard someone talking like this, that was also James Doohan. In fact, everything
hold
you
together,
heard,
little darling.
Yeah. Although the Romulan commanders are voiced by the producers of, like, the Filmation producers, Norm Prescott and Lou Scheimer, which is weird, of Romulan commander and Romulan crewman. Which brings us into our episode. So it starts off very innocuously. It's like a lazy captain's log. Like, he's literally like, well, we're just looking at asteroids and everything's cool. they were like 72 hours ahead of schedule. And then they round the corner of this asteroid, and who's there, Kim?
Three Romulan ships.
Which look like Klingon ships now because...
Yeah, I thought they were. I'm like, am I remembering this wrong? But all right.
Well, remember an Enterprise incident, like the Romulans got the technology and blah, 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 blah. Also, did you know that the first actual viewing of a Klingon ship wasn't until the third episode? Or third season, I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
No.
And then they just gave them to the Romulans. Like, oh, and then the Romulans got it too. So everyone has Klingon-looking ships. So they pop up, and there's three Romulans lying in wait to attack the Enterprise. And they do. And they just kind of let
the Enterprise... And they accuse them of invading their territory.
There's a weird exchange where it's like, you have entered our territory. And Captain Kirk's like, no, we have not. And we're going to file a protest with the Federation, which seems to be like, you know, well, wait a minute. Like, it's like if the Nazis attack, like, we are going to file a protest with America. Like, oh, but... We're attacking you, America. That doesn't make any sense. So,
gonna get a strongly worded email from me.
You are not gonna like that. You may lose your job. So I'm just telling you. So these three Romulan ships, which are kind of poorly animated, there's really no movement to them. There's like one shot of them where they're kind of like splayed out as three, and they kind of move forward towards the camera, and they don't like change perspective at all. So they attack the Enterprise, and Captain Kirk, being the valiant crew captain, does not fight. They turn around, they run, which is kind of weird, pretty right? Much. It's like...
There's an energy field. Go!
So they run, and they escape through an energy field, which the Romulans, like, just... They just give up. It's really kind of weird. They just, you know, like, we'll destroy you, and then, like, they just kind of like, well, we went in this energy cloud, it's all cool.
we can't fly around it. Nah.
No, we can't fly around it. It's far too big, although it looks like it's probably about like twice the size of the Enterprise. You just kind of go through it, and there's fireworks going on in there. It is not the Mutara Nebula for sure. But they escape, and then to celebrate their cowardice.
This is my favorite scene.
They have the feast of all feasts.
It looks like they have like a plate of three kinds of bacon. They have this enormous overflowing plate of fruit.
They have a cornucopia. I think they have an actual cornucopia with food coming out of it.
Something that just looks like a pile of cow vertebrae. I don't know what it is. It looks like vertebrae.
Yeah, it is. They have this table set up. It looks like in the conference room, too. They're just kind of like, hey, fuck it, man. Let's just go in the conference room. We escaped the Romulans with our tail between our legs through an energy cloud, which they were too scared to chase us through.
I think Bones starts the toast. He's like, let's celebrate that we survived or something.
Yeah.
toast.
And if you notice, like, none of our here's one thing that bothers me about Star Trek the animated series, is that none of the characters ever raise their voice above like a conversation.
Yeah, I noticed that.
They're all just talking like this. And it's most noticeable with like Kirk and Dr. McCoy cuz
yeah.
DeForest Kelly is so he's like, you know, well, you know, Jim, we should go ahead and raise a glass, you know? It's like he recorded it from his phone or something and just nodding off.
I propose a toast to our narrow escape.
Is that what he says? Yeah, yeah.
And glass boots.
Yes. The weirdest drinking glasses. And they drink Trophies. From that. And then what happens, Kim?
Then everyone, it's like they have a dribble glass. They all get wet from their leaking glasses.
Yes, with a substance which we will call milk.
Toasting with milk.
They're all toasting with milk. They're all drinking milk, and they get it all over their shirts. And you know, as an adult, you can go all sorts of different directions with that. You know, it just the way it looks. I'm going to be honest. From if you got a dirty mind, it looks bad.
All right.
You know what I'm talking about. You thought it too.
I
it was like
not think that.
come on, Kim. All right. So they're all drinking from these weird glasses of milk, and one at a time, they just get it spilt all over them. Yes. Which is unusual.
I really enjoyed it. After they all discuss it and how weird it is that it happened to all of them, And Scotty just says, it's probably a problem with the food synthesizers. I'll check it out after lunch. This was lunch. This huge feast.
So like 7 a.m., they get away from the Romulans, and by noon, they are famished because they got to check out all the decks, make sure everything's cool.
Got to eat that pineapple on the table.
Giant pineapple. That food's going to go to waste. I mean, I know it's all replicated, but isn't that just weird that they have, like, there's like six people at that table. Eric's wasn't invited, was he? I don't think he was there.
No. or Mares.
Mares. Maresh should be your favorite character, Kim.
Cat. She kind of is so far.
Yes, I know. I know that.
Although, like, Scotty provides, or James Doohan provides all the male voices. Apparently, Majel Barrett provides all the female ones.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, she's occasionally Nichelle Nichols will do it. And her race is called the Catian, or C-A-T-I-N, which is very close to cat.
Oh.
So it was a very lazy titling. I was like, oh, they look like cats. Let's call them cats. You know, it's the Catians. So they think the problem's over, and then Kirk goes to eat some food, and his fork, like, bends. Like, Uri Geller is bending it. It's so...
Ooh, you're so old. I don't understand that.
I know. I can't believe I pulled that out, too. It's like...
And like Kreskin bending a spoon.
Yeah. So his spoon bends away, and this is kind of like, well, whatever. I guess we have a practical joker. Cut to the bridge. Yes. Where Mr. Spock is in some sort of molecular microscope all of a sudden, which has appeared on his, like, control panel.
Yes.
And he's fascinated about it. And he... He decides to look at it. It's like the weirdest thing. Oh, here's this weird technology which has appeared on my control panel. I better look at it.
I found this device on my console. Let me press my eyes against it.
And then he comes back and he has, like, black eye. You know, it's the old binocular black eye trick, which makes everyone laugh very fakely.
to hear George Takei's freaky laugh.
Yes. We will hear that many times in the future, but for right now, it's the most terrifying thing. They're all laughing at that. And then the food synthesizer goes crazy with Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott gets really angry at Eric's and Mares, like really pissed. He's like, he's angry. I mean, he says, where is this? I have the quote here.
Go ahead and laugh. Big joke.
Yeah. I bet you two are responsible for this. Yeah. And like, hey, wait a minute. We didn't cause this to happen. And then he's like, tell that to the captain. I'm reporting both of you. Like, he's like a tattletale, too. I mean, what a poor sport. All right. So anyways, then he gets a pie in the face.
Yeah.
So and then the pinnacle of this episode is that Kirk shows up with his only shirt. And on the back is written the four best words of all time, which is, Kirk is a jerk. And
all caps,
yeah. So they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. There's all sorts of strange stuff. We'll skip a little ahead on this sort of stuff. There's ice forms in the in like
corridor one
of the decks, yeah. And this also. Did you recognize this quote?
Yes, I was very excited when I heard that.
Here, Spock. Whoops.
Whoops. My favorite part of your intro.
I know. The most lazy read. I mean, you know. Good, Bill. Real nice. Let's move on. Q175. Computer, please calculate. I'm not going to do that. So they're starting to figure out something's going on with the computer because the computer laughs at them. In the meanwhile, and this is probably
this was very interesting.
Yes, this is the one thing.
Talking about the rec room.
They're going to the recreation room, which is what, Kim?
A holodeck.
Yes, I'd forgotten about this. All you TNGers, Voyager, Enterprise, Deep Space Nine. Well, not Enterprise, but Deep Space Niners. If you want to see the first holodeck. You gotta watch The Practical Joker because that's where it started out. Now, from what I understand, Gene Roddenberry wanted to have this in the third season of the original series, but the budget just kind of didn't allow it. So they put it in this. And it's, you know, it's pretty much like the TNG holodeck to some degree.
Yeah. Instead of being voice activated, they just are working in a console in the middle of a big empty room
that you could easily bump into once, like, you put trees and all sorts of stuff. So they make
that was very strange that McCoy, Sulu, and Uhura are spending their off hour together because they're great buddies.
The weirdest, apparently. But in like the best like diversity combination you could possibly get a hold of. as far as, you know, like the original series, like maybe Mr. Dr. Mabenga or something like that is showing up, or Arix, you know, perhaps I will go along with you too. So
I'm looking at a shot of Arix sitting at the navigation post, and you can't tell he has three arms. That's not obvious. His arm in the middle of his chest is like under his shirt. They didn't get him a custom shirt that would accommodate his third.
They just sewed an extra arm onto it. It's like, well, there you go. Sorry, we don't like Eudosians. So these three are wandering around in there, like, even though like weird stuff's happening with the computer, like, oh, let's go to the holodeck.
There we can escape the practical jokes.
Right. Where the computer has ultimate control and somehow digs a hole in the floor of the holodeck, which is kind of strange, and covers it with leaves and makes them like when you're in the holodeck.
In a wood.
Yeah, in the woods, you know, like it traps them in a hole, and then it turns it into snow, which makes it cold and they can't get out. And then Bones just basically decides to die, which is pretty great.
That's where I totally noticed his voice just not matching the scene at all. There's this blizzard going on around him, and he's like, these old legs can't go any further.
He's so casual about, like, just, like, succumbing to hypothermia. It's like, no, you go on. These old legs can't carry me any further. You know, it's like he's...
How many times has that happened?
It's like he's doing a production of Art Town or something. Yeah, I mean...
Where he says, just leave me behind. At least... three times, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he absolutely says that. And you know, later on, like, you know, in Star Trek VI, he's going through an ice planet, and he's cold there, and he says, and in fact, he says the same stuff. He's like, you know, Jim, go on without me. Oh, I'm so cold. Here, he's like, no, you better go on without me. This old Georgia doctor is
gonna
old
die. Legs.
Yeah. I mean, he's so...
You should be going, these old legs can't carry me anymore.
I can just see him in the recording booth, just putting on the headphones and just being in love with the
just one side,
the sultriness of your own voice. It's like, no, these old legs can't carry any longer. Try
that. Good, we got it. All right,
yeah, all right.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
And then he's off. So they're almost dead there. And then, like, it turns into a maze, just, like, for no reason. It's just, like, sure, why? You know, because the joke was over. And then laughing gas is pumped into the bridge.
Yes. Where we get all over the ship, because Uhura's affected, too, in the rec room.
Oh, that's right. They all start laughing as they're dying, which is really crazy. And then Kirk is, like, William Shatner's again doing terrible laughing. I don't think William Shatner's ever laughed at anything legitimately. I think he's just, like, mimicking what humans do.
The computer turns off the gravity.
Oh, it turns off the gravity for a little while because Scotty is going... Scotty's going to turn off, you know, it's a time to go to sleep now, old lady, or something like that. Time to take a nap, as he says.
Old lady.
Time for a nap, old girl. Captain's orders. And then the computer turns off the gravity, which of course makes you float up because that's how gravity works. And then he crawls
up in the middle of the room. You float up to the ceiling.
He crawls on the ceiling, which is really weird. It's like the most bizarre animation. It's like, okay, we need to animate Scotty crawling on the ceiling. You got it. but this is the great thing. So. We're building up to, like, the laughing gas, which is, like, I guess a legitimate problem because it's nitrous oxide. They'll all die eventually. They'll, die of lack of oxygen. And Spock is in pain because he can't laugh and all sort of stuff. We break for commercial. And, Kim, do you remember how they get out of this?
I don't remember.
Let me read to you. This is this is so great.
I'm so swept up in the majesty of the story.
So we come back from the commercial break, and there's like an establishing shot of the Enterprise, the exact same establishing shot we're going to see in every single episode. It's a left to right, you know, cross through frame. And it says, Captain's log, supplemental. Somehow Spock managed to switch on our emergency air before collapsing from the effects of the gas. The fresh air quickly revived us. Although it'll be exhausted within another 6 hours. Like, what? What? So you have...
That struck me kind of weird. Like, why?
Somehow Spock managed to switch on our emergency air. Well, too bad we couldn't see that. You know, I mean...
Too exciting. No. Yes.
I mean, was there a discussion like, oh, that's too exciting for the kids? We, you know, we better... Did standards and practices say, oh, you can't have people suffocating? Well, then don't have that, you know? But then... Instantly, they're in the next peril, which is like, oh, no, you're not going to die in 20 minutes. You're going to die in 6 hours. So so that was just, I loved that. That just somehow Spock, man, like Kirk isn't even concerned that much. Like, well, how'd you do it? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you how that happened. Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, all right. Captain's log. Spock somehow did it. I'll get it from later. But okay. So they do that. And then they finally figure out that, well, by this point in time, they figured out, who is the culprit, Kim?
Computer is infected with bacterial or like bacteria when they went through that energy cloud earlier.
Yeah, this is a little weird, isn't it? It's so they go through the energy beam and some sort of something is, you know, like is infecting the computer and turning it into a practical joker, because that's what happens, you know, when you know everything. it's a trope.
I get a cold.
What's it? Yeah, when you get a cold, we all. We are hilarious. everybody Rickrolls everybody. That's what happens when you get sick. So yeah, it's a weird conceit, and it falls into the theme of whenever something is reversed, they go from one extreme to the other in the 60s and 70s. So, you know, mirror, turnabout intruder, not turnabout intruder, but the enemy within. In this, like everything goes from one to the other, good to evil, you know, emotionless mm-hmm. to emotionful. You know, what is it? This side of paradise, you know, where Spock is suddenly laughing and jumping around and stuff. So they really like looking at those extremes. And this was seeing the extreme of the computer. So the computer is infected with, you know, basically being an asshole. It's just a big space asshole.
Ew.
I know. I'm sorry. This podcast has gone a lot longer than I thought it did.
Actually, it'll only take 10 minutes. Like it will not.
You're goading me. You are making me talk longer. But we you know, ladies and gentlemen, podcasters, Edosians, Cassians.
Cattians.
Cattians. I want to say Cassians because that sounds more like exotic, but they're really just cats. Cat people. McKim, that's your cat name, Kim. McKim.
Where's McKim?
Captain, I'm a cat.
Adorable.
Now, what happens if Eric's and Mares like marry and have kids? What's that going to be like?
God,
he's like
seven legs.
These seven legged hairless cats running around.
Giant Adam's apples.
Oh my god.
Horrifying.
Captain Kirk, I'm Mares and Eric's son. Like, oh my god, kill it. Kill it. This is why.
Why can't I have a uniform with seven sleeves? No, get back to work. Go prepare our charcuterie plate for lunch.
Yes. Quickly, another feast.
Where are the pineapples?
So this episode. Anyway, as I was trying to tell everyone here, that this episode really bears a lot of examination because it's so insane. This episode's so insane because then the ship just basically takes control of the ship. It's like I'm not going to listen to you guys. My practical jokes are going to be even crazier, and I'm going to take you into the neutral zone where the Romulan is going to kill you, and that's going to be super funny.
But then it ends up helping the Enterprise, right?
Well, sort of.
When they encounter the Romulans again.
Well, but like it just kind of delays it because what does it eject from its shuttle pod?
A giant balloon, which is standard issue for all Federation vessels, apparently. A balloon that will inflate to twice the size of the vessel it's carrying it.
So if you haven't seen the episode, they decide to eject this giant uninflated and then inflated balloon that is exact copy of the Enterprise. It's like 2 to 7 times the size, although like we really can't get perspective that much, which freaks out the Romulans.
2 to 7 sizes.
I don't know. I'm you know, I'm guesstimating here, but it seemed like it was.
Oh, it's 20 times according to Spock.
Oh, yeah, it was, but it didn't look 20 times, did it? Like it was in the foreground. It's like, well, that's probably twice or 4 times the size.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand. Like, I mean, if there's like one cop car coming after you, and then suddenly there's a giant cop car next to it, what are you supposed to make of that?
Balloon.
You know, it's like 20 times the size. It's like it's floating. You know, it's. But the Romulans are freaked out, and so they shoot it, and then it just deflates.
Yep. Because they fear disgrace more than death. They'll be so embarrassed they fell for the old balloon trick.
The old balloon trick. But they're not. They're just like, well, let's just go destroy the real Enterprise, and then we'll have our, you know, honor established because it's right there. And then Kirk goes off the rails. He gets like really scared. Remember this? It's, he's like, oh,
that's right. Yes.
I don't want to go into the energy cloud. Oh no, oh no. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? But
anyway, but there.
Yeah. And then to play a practical joke on Kirk, see now the Enterprise is just more and more sadistic, right? It's just like turning into just like this evil creature. Yeah. It decides to take him into the cloud. Which is, I mean, I have to say, if I'm going to give like secondary credit to this, like first of all, the holodeck, the second one is that this in some ways lines up with the Enterprise incident and then later on Star Trek II of Kirk pulling these fast ones.
Yeah.
Because at first I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because he just out of no place starts getting scared. Oh no, oh, I hope we don't go in that energy cloud. Oh, I'm so scared of it.
You're like, what? Oh, does it? It petrifies me.
Yeah.
Like, what? What's happening?
And unlike a lot of the animated series, they don't spell it out for you. They're not like, they don't tell you what's happening first. It's only afterwards like, oh, well, you know what? I was legitimately like impressed and surprised by it. So I will give a second kudos. A second kudo is released to the writer Chuck Menville, the writer of this episode, although Gene Roddenberry did a lot of rewrites on this stuff. So they go back through the space cloud, and as with all things, you know, you go through it once, it makes you evil, go through again, completely takes care of it. So it's just, that's how, I mean, I guess it could have made it like even worse. Right?
No.
If you go through a wash, if you go through a car wash, your car gets clean. If you go backwards through it, it gets dirty. Right? Is this the logic here?
Yes, of course.
So they fly through it, and then the computer's back to normal. But those Romulans, what happened to those Romulans?
They follow the ship through.
Yes.
And then they ended up with crazy replicators throwing desserts all over the floor because apparently
Romulans are deep in desserts. And they're still pouring out. So what, which I guess begs the question, what is a Romulan dessert?
Oh, interesting. You never see them eating, really, do you?
No, not really. I mean, the Romulans are kind of, well, remember in the Enterprise incident, the Romulan commander, she has like all those weird cube foods for him, for Spock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why don't they have any?
I hope these are to your liking, Mr. Spock.
Why didn't they have the classic colored food cubes in this, in the animated series?
That's a good question. Yeah,
I mean, banquet.
It would have been so much easier to animate, like just like, okay, like put in like a whole stack of cubes that are different colors. That's fine. Instead, they had this like weird like Christmas Day feast, you know, and say, like, boy, what day is this? It's Christmas Day. Go get me a goose and get Bob Cratchit. Ah! And just set out the table and don't invite.
It's lunch. This is the best lunch we've ever had.
Merry lunch.
Let's see. I'm looking at his freeze frame of this. They've got grapes, bananas, tomatoes, papaya, apples, pineapple, all in a bed of lettuce. There are three kinds of bacon, and they have something that looks like a pan of brownies, and then this bizarre pile of meat, raw meat, it looks like. Well, it looks like Uhura's just eating a large plate of french fries.
Oh boy. That may be the best part of the whole episode is just that weird dinner they decided, or lunch they decided to have to celebrate running from the Romulans right before or after they filed a detailed report with Starfleet Command.
Detailed complaint
with the Federation. Honestly, Starfleet Command, but with the Federation. And the Romulans don't give a shit about that. They're like, well, hey, you know, you've already established a neutral zone to keep us away from you. What do we care? We are hiding behind this asteroid for a reason. We want to kill you. You know, this is our job.
They said it's punishable by death if you pop out in their territory.
Oh, the Romulans. Yeah, they have this weird, you know, these weird rules on that. So punishable by chasing. We will chase you. Severe chasing will be given. All right. So that's the episode, The Practical Joke. We have talked almost 2.5 times longer than the episode itself about this. This is the definitive. This is even better than like an audio commentary about it. We could get those people together and like it wouldn't be as good as this because we have covered every aspect about it. And you are welcome. You don't ever have to watch this, but I encourage you to watch it just for the Kirk as a jerk.
Yes, you do.
Well, watch for Kirk as a jerk. In order, I would say watch it for the holodeck just because that's like from like a historical standpoint, that's cool.
Watch it for the banquet.
Watch it for Kirk as a jerk. And then also if you want, watch him pull a little Kobayashi Maru kind of thing, on them. But, and I guess if you want to see a little more like Romulan lore, because this is, I don't know if they pop up again in the animated series, but, you know, the Romulans were underserved. You know, we only saw them 2 times in the original series, I believe. And then once we're off with that, then they've changed. They're no longer honorable. In fact, in this one, they're not that honorable either. They're just kind of like, let's go get them, you know. and then basically they give their honor to the Klingons for the next generation. And from that point on, they're just kind of like scheming like weirdos, you know, like with the horrible plans. We will land 3,000 troops on the planet Vulcan, and unification will become a reality. What? You're going to land 3,000 dudes on a planet with like 7 billion?
Planet of millions?
Yes. Like millions or billions? It was like the weirdest, worst. Like Commander Sela, who was, you know, Denise Yar, like Denise Crosby.
Denise Yar.
Denise Crosby, Tasha Yar.
Best of both worlds. Reality Star Trek.
That should be Denise Yar. That should be her name. But she came up with that plan. I think, or maybe Tomala came up with it. I'm not sure, but it's a terrible plan. Most of the Romulans' plans in the Next Generation are pretty terrible. they're just like, remember, like in the Pegasus when they're trying to get that spaceship. They're trying to get the Pegasus, and they decide,
oh, yes.
Well, why don't we bomb the asteroid that the Pegasus is in to force the Enterprise out? Like, that's a terrible idea too. You're going to destroy the Pegasus. So. They just have weird, you know, weird plans.
I like
so
that guy that played that Romulan commander in that episode.
Yeah,
season
he was
7. He was just so very, just a smooth performance. I really liked it.
Yeah, and he was like an African-American Romulan, which was, like, makes zero sense. I'm sorry, but I'm being descriptive of like, you know, he was an African-American actor playing a Romulan who had dark skin. So it's like, oh, well, this is great. I mean, let's have some Romulan diversity, even though that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And why are we okay with that? And, you know, I mean, like that, I mean, we're, of course, we're okay with that. But, oh, I'm exploding. Kirk is a jerk. Whoa.
He's tired.
It's
midnight.
It is midnight. I've turned into a fool.
I screwed you up.
All right. Well, my voice is starting to get tired too, so we'll have to put a pin in this, put an end button in this. I don't know what to do. There's very little Star Trek news. The president of Paramount made a very vague statement about there possibly being more movies, but he did that in the vein of, well, it was in the most distant vein. Like I read it, like my Google news thing is like, oh, you know, possible Star Trek, you know, sequels coming up. And I read it and he was saying, it was a meeting, a phone call to stockholders, shareholders. And he was saying, yes, we want to make sure that all the films, we want to, you know, make 15 films a year. And we want to, you know, make sure that half of those are the friend. No, just 15 films in general. Yeah, 15 films. Like, so this is like Paramount president saying we make 15 films in general, and half of those are going to be like franchisable material, things like Transformers and something else and Star Trek. So he just kind of listed three out, but he was not specific at all. And I think he was just saying
as
that.
As an example, not that he's really going to put money toward that.
Right, yeah. He was like rattling off three franchises they had. Yeah. And since there's been no movement on a script or casting or pre-production, it's not looking good. I mean, I wish, again, we talked about this. Like, I wish they would do like they're doing now with, you know, the Avengers.
Star Wars.
Yeah, like because they're doing Rogue One and they're going to do Inferno Squad, which is like an Empire kind of elite team. And I'd love to see that. I'd love to see like a Klingon. An all Klingon episode. That would be great. Or let's see.
I don't know about the eugenics wars of the 90s.
Yes. Let's have an alternate universe. Let's go back to 1996, which is when I think they took off. I think when Khan lifted off the eugenics wars. And let's see that. Let's see them, you know, and how he controlled a quarter of the planet. But we're never going to see
that. That'd be fantastic.
We're just going to get maybe Star Trek Discovery in like September if they get their act together. So we'll have to see. But that's okay because we still have about 795 episodes to go of Star Trek. And at this rate we're going, they'll actually make more episodes than we can cover in enough time. But that's okay. That's fine. Because we're making a difference. Because Idaho 254, somewhere over our planet as a Vulcan, is pleased. It hurts him because he, as a Vulcan, he can't be pleased. I guess he can be pleased. Is that a human emotion or is that just like a state of being?
No, Spock has said that. I am pleased to see you are uninjured.
very good. Good quote. Yes. I am pleased. I'm confused, So Idaho 254 is pleased, but confused by this episode flying high above us, monitoring whether or not to make first contact. Not yet.
Still fools in control.
you need to make last contact. You need to just like wipe us off the galaxy and just be done with this. But for those of you listening all this way, thank you. Thank you so much. We promise to, I don't know what we promise to do. We promise to be entertaining and fun. And I still have those Star Trek games. We're going to play those damn games. I promise that. As soon as Kim can come up here. When do you come up, Kim? Can you come up during a weekend or something?
I'll be up Thursday and maybe next week. I don't know about next week yet.
We'll come up next Thursday because I don't have class. And you can come up and we'll play like during the evening.
All right.
There it is. See, you've heard a schedule being made on a podcast.
I am great. You are great.
I am great. You are great. See, fools, ships scattered. I don't even know what that quote is. This unit must survive. Yes, we will survive. All right. Once again, thank you so much. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I just want to talk about...
Train comes in, everybody rides.
Daddy Little O'Dell, sir, at your service.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you fuck